I'm gonna give a I'll give him the shear. Where do you have a here? The, I have a sheet. You can give out these sheets, please. Those of you interested in sheets. The events of the Parsha Shmini take place by Yom HaShmini. They take place on the eighth day. Rashi says, Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph. Rashi says Shmini means this eighth day of Milu'im. There was the eighth day of putting up and taking down the Mishkan. Right, eighth day of Milu'im. Shehu Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shehu Kam HaMishkan Bo Bayom. That this day, the Yom HaShmini that we're talking about, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Notal, etc. But that's an important thing to remember, right? That the day that we're talking about is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? So you remember that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, he came down from Har Sinai on Yom HaKippur, which is the 10th day of Tishrei. And then they immediately, the tzivui to Bnei Yisrael was to build the Mishkan. And those are the parashah of Truma, Tetzave, and Vayakel, and Pekude. Then in the beginning of Vayikra, the parashah of Vayikra and Tzav are parashahs that talk about korbanot, the korbanot that would be given ultimately in the Mishkan, etc. And then we get to the parasha Shmini, which sort of takes us back to the actual building of the Mishkan and the Chanukas HaMishkan, the dedication of the Mishkan. And that took place, and then that was 7 days, right? Those are called the 7 days of Milu'im, to fix, to sort of make it worthy, to make the Mishkan worthy. And then by Yom HaShmini, the Avoda began. Right? And so, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Beis, Vayomel Aharon. Since Aharon was now taking over as Kohen Gadol, during the days of Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu was still the Kohen Gadol. He still did the taking apart and putting together. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aharon, Ulivonov, and he tells them what to do. And he says, take an egel for a chatos, and that they can ayil la'ola, right? A chatos is a sin offering, right? We don't know what sin we're talking about exactly, but it's a sin offering. Then there's an ola. An ola is a carbon that is completely consumed, or almost completely consumed, as we will see, and sacrifice them. Then to Bnei Yisrael, that's Aaron's participation. Bnei Yisrael to daver lemor chusi irzim echatos la'ola. So Bnei Yisrael also bring a chatos and an ola. Not the same animals, but the same type of sacrifices. And then they also bring a third kind of sacrifice, shor v'ayil, an ox, and a ram, lishlamim. Lishlamim. So there are three kinds of sacrifices that we've learned about. I mean, even though we've already learned about them in the parishes of Vayikra and Tzav, kind of theoretically. But now we're learning what Bnei Yisrael actually did on the first day of the operation of the Mishkan. So Aaron HaKohen brought, he and his sons, I guess, brought a chatos and an ola. Bnei Yisrael brought a chatos, an ola, and a third sacrifice that's called shlomim, right? And then it says that they did it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu gives them directions, right? The next psukim, Aaron HaKohen, you do this. And then what the Aaron did, what his sons did. And then what they did with the different parts of the korbanot that they sacrificed. And then... Vayavol Moshe v'Aaron, Pasuk Kav Gimel, Pasuk 23, Moshe Rabbeinu came with Aaron to Ol Moed, v'yitzu v'yivarchu et ha'am, v'yeiro kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. Somehow, and this is not the part of the parasha that I'm interested in tonight, but somehow the dedication of the Mishkan meant that the Mishkan was operative, right? It worked. And what was the sign that it worked? The sign in Pasuk Kav Gimel, I'm sorry. What? Pasukov Dalit 24. Vateitze Eish Vifnei Hashem V'tochal Al Mizbech Esa'ola V'Esachalovim V'Yakol Om V'Yaronu V'Yapnu Al Rehem. So this great event, which is the dedication of the Mishkan, which ended by a sign min Hashamayim that the Mishkan actually was obviously worthy of being a Mishkan, and that all this effort was accepted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The indication of all of that was that a fire came down from heaven and consumed the Ola, right? The sacrifice that is consumed entirely, and the Chalavim, right? The Chalavim are the fats that are also consumed. Some fats are eaten, some fats are consumed. But again, the details, those details are important, but they're not my specific concern. Then, Perek Yud, there's a story of Nadav the Avihu. Now, what Nadav the Avihu did is described in the Torah very clearly. Their motivation, their motives, and their position, their subsequent position in the Jewish history, are they heroes or blackguards? Right? Are they good guys or bad guys? That remains unclear. But what they did was, as it says in Pasuk Aleph, that they took they brought a ketoret sacrifice. A ketoret is incense and coal. Right? So the coal and the incense mixed together produces a kind of fragrant smoke. That's what a ketoret is. And they brought this as it was an esh zara. An esh zara, the word zar, which means perhaps, you know, literally foreign, is the word that's always used to describe going into the mikdash when you're not supposed to. That's called zar. A zar is a person who has not been designated at that time to do that particular kind of service. And therefore, the Torah says several times in Vayikra and also in Bamidbar, v'hazar hakarev yumos, the foreigner who comes close, he will be killed. Even if somebody else doing that same avodah would not be killed, would be pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what a zar is. A zar is not a genetic deficiency, usually, but it's an accidental deficiency. Right now, you shouldn't bring it to Torah. So they did, they brought a ketoret, Pasuk Beis is, they were killed. And then there's this kind of conversation with Moshe and Aaron, again, Pasuk Gimel, which is a very kind of important, significant, short conversation. And then Pasuk Dalet, Vayikra Moshe el Mishael vel el Tzafan, B'nei Uziel dod Aharon, he called Mishael and el Tzafan to bring the bodies. And then Moshe Rabbeinu went to Aaron, the Pasuk 6, and Elazar v'Itamar banav, and he said, we have a problem. Like Moshe Rabbeinu had to give direction, because there was an issue. The issue was that all the close members of the family of Nadav Avihu were now in a state of Avelut, or more precisely, in a state of aninut. Aninut is the state of mourning that a person is in before the body is actually buried. And it's a very limiting state. I mean, you can't do very much when you're an onen. So suddenly, there was a crisis. There was a crisis in this unfolding of the Mishkan, because the Mishkan was supposed to be run, and the avoda was supposed to be done by Aaron and his sons. Two of the sons, made this mistake and brought a foreign fire into the Mikdash, right? Two of the sons. And therefore they were killed. Having been killed, the other sons, the other two sons, right, Elazar v'Itamar and their father, were now in a state of Avelut. Right? Avelut. Vayomer Moshe El Aaron Elazar, Pasuk 6. Uli Samar Banav. Rasheichem al Tifra'u. Do not cut off the hair on your head. Uvigdechem lo tifromu. Do not rip up your clothing, which are all signs of Avelut. So he's telling them, the lo somusu, the al kol ha'eda yiktsof, right? V'al kol yiktsof, v'acheichem kol beis Yisrael yivku. So there's a problem in the order of the pasuk. I guess it means that, it sounds like it means, acheichem kol beis Yisrael yivku es ha'sreifa aser soraf Hashem, and then, Veloso Musu, Vakol Aida Yiktsof. It was somehow, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, even though we learned the Torah together, when your close relative dies, you're supposed to be an Ovel. But in this case, you don't have to be an Ovel. And then the Torah says, Pesach Ol Moed, Moshe Rabbeinu is continuing his directions. Do not leave the front door of the Ol Moed, Pento Musu. Because you have already been anointed with the oil, meaning that you are already worthy of doing the avoda. So that even though it wasn't clear who was supposed to do the avoda originally, obviously Aaron was going to do it. It was not clear who was going to help him. But it is clear that Nadav and Avihu got themselves into trouble. That left Elazar and Itamar. Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining to them that they can't become Avelim. They can't become Avelim. They cannot assume the mantle of mourning because they are already dedicated to the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And since there is a contradiction between Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash and Avelah, so they can't become Avelim. That's all there is to it. Okay? That's what the Torah says. Then there's either an aside in the Torah or something that's connected. We learn halacha that you can't drink intoxicating beverages when you go and do avoda. This is true, as you know, also for Talmud Torah. You can't paskin a shaila if you're drunk. Right, you can't pass in the shower if you're drunk. That's a famous story about C. Pesach Frank, who was the Rav Rashi in Yerushalayim, used to, on the night of the Seder, used to make a Seder very quickly, go through the Haggadah very quickly, drink the four cups of wine, and then go to sleep immediately. And then, because he knew that people would come to ask him shailas left later on, and the antidote to shikrut, according to the Gemara, is sleep. So after he went to sleep for an hour, he got up, and then he felt that he would be able to paskin shailos, even though he had drunk the four cups of wine in the in the Seder. So that's a halacha, right? So that's an aside. It may be an aside entirely, or it may have something to do with what happened. Like, it could be that Nadav v'Avihu somehow misunderstood. And they thought that intoxicating beverages would be good, or intoxication in general would be good for spirituality. You know, they're not the last ones to have made that mistake. And thought that maybe, you know, having their good senses with them is not an advantage. So the halachas come at this point. And then in Pasuk Yud Beis, the story continues. Right? The story continues. Now, what story are we continuing? We're continuing the story of the Avoda in the Mishkan on the first day of Nisan, which has kind of run up against a problem because the Kohanim, all the people who are supposed to do this Avoda, might be in Avelus. And Moshe Rabbeinu explained to them that their obligation to do the avoda in the Mishkan takes precedence even over the limitations of avelus. Okay, by the Moshe posuk yud beis. By the Moshe Aaron ve'Elazar v'Itamar banav notarim. So you have this word, Moshe spoke to Aaron and to his sons, Elazar v'Itamar, hanotarim. Hanotarim. This word notarim means the ones that are left over. The ones that are, and Chazal made a bit of an asik out of this word notarim. If you look at Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, Rashi says notarim min misa. The ones who were left over, who were not killed, right? They were kind of escaped death. Melamech afalemik. So he says, from this you learn that even Elazar and Itamar deserve to be killed for the sin of the Egel. And they have some kind of a raya, right? There's some kind of a raya. So that Elazar and Itamar, what are they? They're notarim. What are notarim? They also deserve to be killed. But the prayers of Moshe Rabbeinu saved them. So Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, v'Itamar all deserve to be killed because they all participated in the building of the golden calf. But Moshe Rabbeinu somehow saved them, and then Nadav, Avihu were killed again. So now the Torah comes and tells us a story about Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Elazar, v'Itamar, and calls them notarim to remind us that they really deserve to be dead. Ku es ha-mincha ha-noseres mi-ishei Hashem. Ku es ha-mincha. Now, what's a mincha? What? A mincha is a meal offering, right? As opposed to an animal offering, right? So he says, ku es ha-mincha. Now, what mincha are we talking about? Where's there a mincha? So, one second. If you look at Perek Tes Pasuk Dalet, go back, right? To something we didn't mention. Shova Ayel Shlamim, right? Shova Ayel, these are the sacrifices that Bnei Yisrael is supposed to bring. Achatas, an Ola, and Shlamim. Remember those three sacrifices? Those are three animal sacrifices. Lizboach Levnei Hashem. U'mincha Belula B'Shemen. What's Mincha Belula B'Shemen? Meal mixed with oil. Right, that's called a Mincha. So Mincha is a meal offering. So the Bnei Yisrael, how many sacrifices were they supposed to bring? The people, a chatos, an osham, shlomim, and a mincha. Right? A chatos, an ola, a shlomim, and a mincha. Right? In other words, they brought, really, in essence, every category of korban that you could bring. Even though in the category of chatos, there are different kinds of them. And in the category of shlomim, there are different kinds of them. But these are all the categories. These are all the categories of korbanos. So he says to them, Moshe Rabbeinu, back to Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, by the way Moshe, etc. Kuas Amincha Noseres Mishe Hashem Rechlua Matzos Eitzel Hamizbeach, and eat them matzos. Now, this is not, it's not clear, because if you look in Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet, one second. No, Perek Vav, one second. Here. You see, Perigvav Posegut talks about Posegtes. Hanotzeres v'menu yechlu aron avodav matzos te'ochel v'mokum kodesh that if you eat the meal offering with matzos, lo se'afeh chometz. So in other words, this is Pasuk Zayin, it says, Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin. It says, Zos Torah Samincha, right? Zos Torah Samincha. So what is Torah Samincha? What do you always eat the mincha with? Always with matzos. And not with chametz. This has nothing to do necessarily with Pesach. But the halacha is that you eat a mincha with matzahs and not with chametz. Our question about our pasuk was that Moshe Rabbeinu says, again in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, he says, v'chlu matzos, v'chlu matzos. Rashi says, mivmat Talmud lomar, right? What is it? What does this come to teach us? Ela lefisha he minchas tzibur u minchas shor the enke yotzi bo ledoros lachenu tshach leforesh bo din sha'ar minochos shenoni telomar, that we should not think somehow. In other words, you see Rashi? Should we look at the Rashi again? Rashi in Pasuk, what Pasuk is this? Yud Beis, right? Pasuk Yud Beis. Rashi's Bachlu Matzos. Ma Talmud Lomar. Why does the Torah have to tell us to us? Shenecholim Matzos. Alefisha Ya Mincha Tzibur. U Minchas Sho'o. Ven Kayotzi Beladeros. So it said it. In other words, in Perek Vav, according to Rashi, in Perek Vav, in the parish of Tzav, when it talks about a Mincha, it tells us about all the minchas, wherever after, they're all going to be minchas with matzahs. However, this mincha is called lisha'ah. What does lisha'ah mean? What? Which mean? Why is it not forever? Because the dedication is a one-time event. It's one time. So how do you know what the mincha for the dedication is? It's a little hard to understand what Rashi is talking about. Because if you don't know what the mincha is like, why would you think it's different? Why do you think it's different than any other mincha? Besides which, it seems that Bnei Yisrael were asked to bring all the korbanos on that day that you could possibly bring. Right? The chatos, the olah, the osham, and the mincha. So why would I think that the mincha is different? But that's what Rashi says. Achlu ha-matzos, etzel ezbech, ki kodesh kodoshim hi. Okay? Pasuk yugil v'achaltem osob mokum kodesh, ki chok chokok b'nechem yishay Hashem, another halacha. You say, eat them the mokom kadosh, right? Eat them the mokom kadosh. Even though, you know, he's talking to Elazar Itamar, even though there's this problem of avelus, I want you to eat in the mokom kadosh. Even though we know, and this is something that you have to remember, that an onen is not allowed to go into the kodesh, An onen is not allowed to participate, but as we said, there was nobody else. Moshe Rabbeinu said, as a horah shah, in this case, you guys have to do it, right? We can't exchange you for anybody else. So he says, atov v'nechon, etc. Shokat shumam, and he goes through the things that they have to eat from the different korbanot, right? And that goes until Pasuk 16. Right? You see Pasuk 16? So he goes through, and in other words, he's talking to Elazar and Itamar, and he's explaining to them that they have to continue the avodah, and they have to do all the things that are left over because of what happened to Nadav Avihu. And then Pasuk Tet Zayin. See Pasuk Tet Zayin? Vesir achatos. Es Seir HaChatat. Now, what is Seir HaChatat? What? Seir HaChatat. Go back to the beginning of Shemini. Who brought a Seir LeChatat? Right, Bnei Yisrael. So we're talking about all the B'nai Yisrael Karbanot. And then he says, so back to our pasuk, Mesiach Hatat, Darosh Darash Moshe. What does that mean? Si'ir HaChatat, right, this Darosh Darash Moshe, V'hinei Saraf, V'hinei Saraf, what does V'hinei Saraf mean? And behold, it was burnt. Let us say that it means it was burnt entirely. Why is this surprising? Because usually, which carbon is burnt entirely? Only the oilo, but not the chatas. So here, Rashi, look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. One second. Where is it? Sirah Chatas. So Rashi says, Shlosha Seire Chatat Nikruvu. He says, Seir Musve Rosh Chodesh. You hear this? This Seir, this goat, was which Chatat, according to Rashi? The Rosh Chodesh Chatat. Whoever mentioned the Rosh Chodesh Chatat? We only know about what? Oh. And if we only heard in the beginning about the chatos that Aaron had to bring, and then the chatos that B'nai Israel had to bring. Now look, as Rashi says, Seir Musvei Rosh Chodesh, leave it, Seir. This is not what you think. This is not the Seir that you think. This is another Seir. How do I know there was another Seir? Oh, Rosh Chodesh. In other words, since this is a Seir, that is part of, what is it part of? The regular avodah, and is not part of, was it not part of the dedication, right? You understand? Wasn't it the regular avodah and dedication? The regular avodah are korbanos that you bring with regularity. Every Rosh Chodesh you bring a korban. Every day you do the korban tomi, the oilah. What are the korbanos of dedication? What are the korbanos of dedication? Those are korbanos that you only give once on the day of dedication. So in the beginning of the parasha Shmini, What does Moshe Rabbeinu tell Aaron and Bonav and Ziknei Yisrael, the korbanos that you bring for dedication? But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't mention to them what they've already learned someplace or other, the regular korbanos that have to be brought daily. And the first day of the existence of the Mishkan was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So if there's a korban that has to be brought on Rosh Chodesh, so of course you have to bring that korban. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu talking about Zov Itamar, and he said to the Seir HaChatos, and as far as the Seir HaChatos is concerned, which Seir HaChatos, according to Rashi? The Seir of Rosh Chodesh. The Seir of Musa Rosh Chodesh. So Dorosh Dorash Moshe. What does Dorosh Dorash Moshe sound like it means? Moshe made a chakira. He was learning. He was sitting and learning. He said, "What should we do? What are we going to do with the carbon of Rosh Chodesh?" So he said, "Hinei Saraf, burn it up." You'd never do that with the carbon chatos of Rosh Chodesh. Today, you better do that. That's what Rashi says. Go back to Rashi. Simus Rosh Chodesh. Then Rashi says, "Shlosho Zirei Chatos Nikrivu Bo Vayon." Now I want you to understand that on that day, there were three korbanot called chatos that were sacrificed, right? And one was Seir Izim. What was the Seir Izim that B'nai Yisrael brought? That was a chatos. And then he says, Useir Nachshon. Huh? Who's Nachshon? Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was, right, the Nossi of Shevet Yehuda. And you know that starting from Aleph Nisan, after you made Miluim, all of the tribes represented by the Nisim also brought these korbanos on behalf of their tribe, so to speak, so that Nachshon ben Aminadav brought a chatas u'seir Rosh Chodesh. So there were three Seirei Rosh Chodesh, or three Seirei chatas. Three Seirim goats of the Chatos category brought on that day, according to Rashi, even though it doesn't say that in the Chumash. One was brought by B'nai Yisrael, And one was brought by Nachshon ben Aminadav, and one was brought by, and one was brought by whom? And one was for Rosh Chodesh. Okay? And he says, and then he goes on and says, V'nechlaku ba'dovar chachme Yisrael. You see Rashi? V'nechlaku ba'dovar chachme Yisrael. Yeshol mivnei tumah shenaga bo Nisraf. In other words, Bechlegu bo Chachme Yisrael, about what? What was the machlokus about? Why Moshe Rabbeinu told them to burn this Korban Chatos in its entirety? Remember? Again, you see the pasuk? I know it's a little complicated, but you should be able to follow it. It says, Vesir Chatos, which Seir Chatos? What? Rosh Chodesh, which is usually not burnt. It's treated like a chatas. Part of it is eaten, part of it is burnt. Dorosh Dorash Moshe Vinei Soiraf. Moshe Rabbeinu had an einfall. He had this tremendous insight into what was going on in the world. And he says, we better burn it up. So Rashi says that in learning this pasuk, Chachma Yisrael were not sure about Moshe Rabbeinu's reasoning, right? One reason might be that something happened to this korban, it became tamei, it was unworthy of being a real chatos, so they just burnt up the whole thing. Right? Because the halacha is that an onen is not allowed to participate in the avoda and certainly can't do hakrovos, hakorbonos, and he can't eat it. Therefore, since the onen can't do it, so Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them or directed them to burn the chatos. Why did he tell them only to burn the chatos, not to burn the other two? The chatos of Rosh Chodesh, and not to burn the other two? Yeah? No, I'm not going to Rashi. I'm reading Rashi, right? Yeah. Right, Shnei Yishot HaLolo. Mipnei Ma Nisrav Zeh, Mipnei Ma Lo Nech, Nu. Why is it that he commanded them to burn it? Burn it. That's what he said. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'nei Sarav." It's not that. It sounds like "V'nei Sarav" means he saw it was burnt, but Rashi doesn't think it means that. Rashi doesn't mean Darosh Darash Moshe, and as a result of that, "V'nei Sarav," because of the limud of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was burnt up. So now the question that everybody asked was, how come only one of the three sacrifices was burnt? If the reason was either because it was Tomei, or because it was, they are Onanim, so why should one be burnt? What should happen? Well, all three should be burnt. But the answer in the Rishonim is that those other two Korbanos, right? One carbon came from Bnei Yisrael, and the other carbon came from Nachshon ben Aminadab. They were special korbanos. Even if they would do something wrong with those special korbanos, no one would be misled into thinking that in the future they should also do something wrong. But since the korban that we're talking about was the sire of Rosh Chodesh, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have allowed, or if they would have done the avoda, right, then people would have thought that you could do that forever. You could always have somebody who's tamei doing this avoda, and that they didn't want to. The Torah didn't want to say. And then the Gemara says, then the pasuk of the Torah. So Torah says, "Veiksofa lazavi tamar b'nei Aaron hanotarim lemor." And then it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was angry. We don't know exactly why he was angry, but the next pasuk explains it. Nadu lo achaltem es achatos b'mkom hakodesh Kikodesh Kodoshim He, Rosu Nasan Lechem Eseis Avonu Aido Lechaper Lechem Vnei Hashem. Okay, so this pasuk would take us a little bit out into a new direction, but I just wanted to, in order to understand the Torah of the Beis Yaakov, I want you to know that what Rashi leads us to understand, that according to Rashi, there were three korbanot chatat that had to be sacrificed on that day. And about one of those korbanot chatat, specifically the one about Rosh Chodesh, it says in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, that one, burn it up entirely. Because I don't want you to have anything to do with it, either because you're Tomei, or because it became Tomei, or because you're an Onei, you're a mourner, and mourners are not allowed to do it. That's how Rashi understands what's going on in this pasuk. Okay, that's enough. Let's look at the Beis Yaakov. The Beis Yaakov is the Ishbitzer, right? The Meshilach is the Beis Yaakov. The Ishbitzer's name was, what was the Ishbitzer's name? Mordechai Yosef, huh? Mordechai Yosef ben Yaakov. What? No, Mordechai Yosef ben Yaakov. It was compiled by his son. It was put together by his son.
There are no
Sephardi authorities. They're like, you know.
Beit Yaakov?
Beit Yosef. He's not a Sephardi authority. He's a Jewish authority. What do you mean? We don't have things like that. So anyway, there are two pieces of the Beit Yosef. I mean, one that we want to learn, which is the starts at the bottom of the right-hand column, right? And the one before that has some introductory remarks which are helpful, right? So I want to start from the one before that. We won't learn the whole thing. We'll just learn the part that is relevant. It says in Kaf Ches, you see the paragraph numbered Kaf Ches, V'ayim bazeh, v'imei yesh lomim v'chatos v'olah. You hear that? You hear what he says? There's shlomim and there's chatos and there's olah, the three kinds of korbanos. Shlomim, romes al pu'ula shetov beinei elokim v'adam. Shlomim means it's good in the eyes of heaven, and it's also good in the eyes of man. Kinyan shenema v'lo shachachti mi levorechecha zeu shlomim. Shlomim represents a bracha, a kind of fusion of effort between heaven and earth. Zeu shlomim, shehu l'Hashem, v'la kohen, v'la be'alim. In other words, a korban shlomim, what is the thing that typifies a korban shlomim? That it's divided up between the kohen, the baal, and Hashem. Chatos, right, this is the second type of korban. Romez al-dova shi'yesh bo gam chisaron. A chatos means imperfection. Something imperfect about our situation. Al-dova shi'yesh bo gam chisaron, an imperfection. V'lo zeh eini meno le-ba'alim. And in this case, the ba'alim, the people who bring the korban, don't get anything. After, why are they bringing the korban? Because they sin. So why should they get anything? They shouldn't. So he says, "Ein imenu lebaalim rak lekohen haoved." Zeh nikra yegia kapecha. This is the work of your hands. Shal yedei tshuva merape es hakodein. That somehow the kohen induces the person who brought the korban to perform an act of tshuva. That's his labor. The labor of the kohen is somehow to get the sinner to do tshuva. And then he's merape es hakodesh. He cures what happened before. That's the second kind of korban. Va'ola romes al davar shekulo kolil rak l'Hashem. And an ola means that there's something in the world that belongs exclusively to God. And in fact, the Baalim don't get anything, and the Kohen doesn't get anything. She'ein bo zeh yigia kapayim shel Adam, because this korban does not represent yigia kapayim shel Adam, meaning an attempt on the part of man to better himself, right, to make him into something better. Ve'ein leguf chelek bo, and the body is not, has no connection. Right, we are not connected. In other words, we don't eat from it. That means that the goof has no connection to this korban. And then he makes this little addition: the rak or ha'ola la'kohen tiyeh kimoshe kosel va'yikro zayim posuk ches v'hu shalavush mizoa pu'ula shayach la'ba'alim la'kohen oved. But there's a little exception, and that is, you know, that the or, that the skin of the animal that is consumed by the fire as an ola, that does go to the korban, so he gives some sort of explanation. It goes to the Kohen, I'm sorry, and he gives an explanation about that. Now let's look at the next section of the Beis Yaakov. He quotes our pasuk, right? Quotes our pasuk. If you look at the bottom, the last three words in the right-hand column, ha'inyan bozeh. He says he doesn't understand. What is it that he's got to try to explain to us? Why Moshe Rabbeinu told them to burn up the chatas? Right? What did Rashi say? What did Rashi say? Rashi said, we don't know. But he suggests two possibilities. Rashi suggested two possibilities. One is that the korban itself became tameh somehow. And the second is that because they were onanim, they really couldn't do the avodah. They couldn't do that avodah. Further, Rashi says that since this was a regular korban, the korban of Rosh Chodesh, people would make a mistake of thinking if Moshe Rabbeinu would have allowed them to do this avodah as onanim, as mourners, people in the future might think that this halacha is not so strict. It doesn't have to be adhered to. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want that to happen, so he made this blanket iser, he forbade eating or participating in the korban. You have to just burn it up as though it was an ola. In other words, according to the Meshiloyach, usually, what is a chatos? What is a chatos? Right, it goes for the Kohanim and for Hashem. In other words, the person who brings the chatos, by not eating of the chatos, sort of indicates that he doesn't have a chelek. He doesn't have a chelek in this avoda. This. I'm saying this because it's critical for understanding continuation of the Beis Yaakov. That's what a korban chatos is. A korban chatos is that you take something. It's not like that, like it says in that article in the United Synagogue Sitter. It's not like that. It's different. The article is a good article. But this is different. You have to understand that it's not the same at all. What's a korban chatas? What's a korban chatas? If you know what a korban shlomim is, then you understand what a korban chatas is. That's what the Beis Yaakov says. What's a korban shlomim? Where the Baalim and the Kohen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu share. In order to share with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be somehow in sync with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of you. That's what a korban is. That's what a korban shlomim is. A korban shlomim is, it's okay. It's shalom. That's a korban shlomim. But what's a korban chatas? A korban chatas is that the Kohen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu share. And the Kohen is somehow trying to get the Baal HaKorban involved. Try to get him to do tshuva. He's kind of on the outside. It's true that he has to bring the korban, but for him, for the chote, the korban remains a physical object and does not become part of this su'uda that he eats with HaKadosh Baruch and the Kohanim. Right? He's left out, and therefore the avoda is to produce a state of tshuva and kapora which will enable him to come in and then bring a korban shlomim. Okay? That's the difference between a chatos and a shlomim. which really the issue. The Ola is not will not figure it out Chesed so much. So again, what does the Beis Yaakov say? Einyan v'zeh she'aron hashiv l'Moshe shezeh ha'chet lo yirtze lekabel al atzmai. He says, this chatos. What is this chatos? What is the chatos? Chatos of Rosh Chodesh. Why do we bring a korban chatos on Rosh Chodesh? There's got to be some chait someplace, right? Without a chait, you can't bring a chatos. So he says, Aaron HaKohen said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't do it. What can he do? He can't give a chatos. If he can't give a chatos, so what can he do? He can't eat. He says, I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat because as he said, the Beis Yaakov, when you bring the korban chatos for a chait that you did by the kohen eating, and eating with HaKadosh Baruch, with heaven, you're producing a certain kind of pleasure in the world, which then helps you to achieve tshuva and kapora. But in this case, Aaron HaKohen said, I can't do it. Ki se'iroi shchedesh. Listen carefully. Se'iroi shchedesh romeis al chet shebesheresh ha'teilodah. He says, after all, the se'iroi shchedesh, this korban that we bring every month, is romeis, it hints at a chet shebesheresh ha'teilodah. Sheresh ha'teilodah means in the root of existence, in creation, so to speak. It's the chait of creation. Kinyan shenema, u'pesha mi beten karelach. It's a posuk that there's a pesha from original. I mean, I don't want to say it, but you know, if you are sort of like, if you had that kind of literacy, you'd say original sin, right? But it's before original sin. How so? Kinyan shenema, etc. Ze omar, David HaMelech, Olav HaSholoin, Ein Ba'avon, Cholalti, Ubechet, Yechmeteini Ovi, Aimi, that I came into the world as a result of a chet. V'azeh Omu B'shas. And this reminds me, the Beis Yaakov says of Gemara. The Gemara says, V'azeh Ne'emar B'soi Rosh Chodesh Chatos L'Hashem. The Gemara says, he's quoting a Gemara in Shavuos, Daftes of an Aleph, where the Gemara asks, why is it that the Korban on Rosh Chodesh is called Chatos Lashem? Why is it that a Korban like you bring Shlomim or Musafim on Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos? What is this business of Chatos Lashem? Shashem Yisboch Omar. Heviu Olai Kapora. This is a Gemara. It's quoting a Gemara. This is not the some unknown sefer written by Chaim Vital on the musings of the Arizal. This is in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Al," he says, "Heviu alai kapora." It says, "No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Heviu alai kapora." So who's the sinner according to this Gemara? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's looking for atonement? Who's looking for atonement? Al shemi atati es hayoreya. What did I do? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? I made the yoreach small. Remember when the sun and the moon were created, they were equal. As a result of this or that, the moon was diminished in size, the sun became the main source of light, and the moon became the source of reflected light only. V'zehu hayah tshuvas Aaron shekol achatoim yichol odom nekabel al atzmo. He says, and this is what Aaron said. Aaron said, look, I can be the Kohen when anybody brings a chatos, because I can somehow accept the burden of the chait, any chait. He says, but mevar mi'achait shemisheresh hatolodo. He says, except for this chait, except for the chait shemisheresh hatolodo, the chait that comes from the root of creation. The she'im yikabel zeh chait al atzmo, yeh kimode ba'atzmo she'shorish nafsho lo tova. Because if he would accept this chait upon himself, it would be as though saying that he has no takona, that he can't ever be fixed. ובאמס הוא, שאחר שזה החטא הוא מהתולדה, ואין האדם חייב בזה, אזי יוכל לומר, לך לאומן שעשאני. So he says that since it's true that this is not Aaron HaKohen's chait, but it's a chait that was it's in the creation of the world. So you could say, go to the Uman, go and talk to the person who fashioned me. Vayishma Moshe Beit Abayin of the next pasuk Shevin Mizeh Shemistabev Shesoyer Arishon Shirash Chodesh Nisraf. He says he understood, therefore, that the first ever of all times, right? That Soyer Arishon Shirash Chodesh is Nisraf. Why is the Soyer Arishon Shirash Chodesh Nisraf? Mashma Shashem Yisbarach Hora Lanu Zos. Dorash means that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted. Uvechol Chodesh Maktin Achet. V'zesod ma'amar ha'shash Hashem Yisbarach ma'aviu alai kapora al shemi atiti es ha'yareach. And every time Rosh Chodesh passes and every time a korban is given, mi'atiti es ha'chait. Somehow the chait is diminished and the future, right, the future when the sun and the moon will be the same time, comes closer and closer. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat of the Beis Yaakov? I mean, you can think about the different aspects. What's the simple pshat? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say you should burn the chatas? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say you should burn the chatas according to the Beis Yaakov? Remember, Rashi gave two possibilities. One possibility was that the chatas was tomei. The other possibility was that they were owning him, that they were not famous, and therefore they couldn't do it. But interestingly enough, the Beis Yaakov gives a third option. What's the third option? But it had to be an ola. That's the point of the Beis Yaakov. That the first ever korban of Rosh Chodesh had to be an ola. And the reason it had to be an ola is because it's called chatos l'Hashem. And every time you gave an ola, you did the chatos, it diminished a little bit of the chait, right? And therefore, it became more possible for the kohanim to participate as ochle hakorban in the korban chatos. So there you have it. I think it's important to understand that the Beis Yaakov rushed into a place that Rashi left open. Rashi sort of said, if you look at Rashi, he said chachamim omrim, either it's this way or it's that way. Rashi sort of said, I'm looking for the best possible pshat. Right? Don't stop trying. I mean, that's what Rashi's direction was. And the Beis Yaakov said that the first time the chatas of Rosh Chodesh was ever given in the Mishkan, it was really, it had to be an ola. That was Dorash Moshe. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood from the way the korbanos work that the first time the korban of Rosh Chodesh would have to be an ola. But the chatos is only the Kohen and the Kodesh Baruch.
Right. What was the
other? What?
And the other?
The Ola is only for our Kohen. The Ola is not so much a part of our conversation here. Only the chatos is. The chatos and the shlomim are what interest us.
So that's why.
And after the Ola, he just explained what an Ola is, because those are the three kinds of korbanos. But the Ola is not relevant. Right, it was an ola, meaning that it's consumed by God.
So how come what the other stands to be relevant?
What? No, what I mean, okay, it's not irrelevant, it's relevant. Seven.
Right, but if the
shlomim
was to show your instinct of God, and the chatat was to show that you can't feel the issue, but I missed the last point about what the other should then signify.
No, the ola just belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What is it?
Well, that was what God commanded. God commanded that the certain sacrifices that should be given that are consumed entirely for God.
Right, but the shlamim sense is the shlamim is meant to see that you're in sync with God, and the chatah is for the Kohen to get it through the shiva.
Bezebe, it doesn't say anything. I can't tell you. You want to tell you something? I could tell you something, but it doesn't say it in the Beis Yaakov here. Yes. I don't know exactly what it means, but it's definitely a quote in the Gemara. That's why the Gemara asks, why is it called Chatos Lashem? Right? Which could mean Chatos for the sake of Hashem. What does Rosh Chodesh have to do with the Chatos? From our point of view. It's a, look at the Gemara. Look at the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Tes. You'll see that that's what the Gemara says. Yeah?
Just to build on that, but if you said that Chatos, the reason the Baal is going to the Chelik in Chatos, because
that's part of the Tshuva process. And who does the point in Hashem? If you tell me being Nechata for Hashem, Hashem's still the Baalim.
Yeah.
But he's yet still getting Nechalek in Nechata. Okay. No, I understand. You're saying that the model is not exactly equivalent. Right? That's what you say. But all Korbanot Ga'al Hashem. But there's no exception to that rule. There's no korban that doesn't go to Hashem. The interesting thing is that you have to say that Hashem, in this case, according to the Gemara, according to the Beis Yaakov, is also playing the role of the Baalim. Right? But that doesn't mean that there can't be a korban that doesn't go to Hashem. Tough. Have a good Shabbos.